Hello everyone, hello. This year is dedicated to Lili Nishmas, Rachelei Abbas, Reb Chaim Zvi. Okay, this is actually our 15th class about the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, and we're coming to the end of his various introductions to the Sefer Chofetz Chaim. And we're in the middle of the list, the famous list of 31 mitzvos and averos that a person could violate if they speak Lashon Hara. And we're at the end of the list now, Mitzvah Yudalid. And then he has a very important summary at the end of the list. And then he goes on to the Arurin, the curses, that's the English, the curses, that relate to Lashon Hara as well. And that's really the end of the introduction to the Sefer Chofetz Chaim. So here's Mitzvah Yudalid. The Chofetz Chaim writes as follows. O Nira, Sha'over Gam al Mitzvah Saseh Din, V'halachta Bidrachav. If a person speaks Lashon Hara, they're violating the mitzvah of halachta bitrachav. There's a mitzvah saseh to go in the ways of Hashem. Have good midos. Follow the ways of Hashem. The Chofetz Chaim continues. Shenitztavinu bazeh, we are commanded. Leilech b'midos of Shacharash Baruch Hu. To follow the midos, the characteristics, the character traits of Hashem. Asherim kulam rak l'tov. They're all for good. K'mamarim zal, as Chazal say, mahurachum. Afatarachum, mahu chanun, afatachanun. Hashem is merciful. Hashem is kind. We have to be merciful. We have to be kind. And all the other midos tovos, uvkiyotze bezer, shar midos tovos. The other midos tovos. Person is supposed to have good midos. Other Chazal say, just like Hashem is gomel chesed and does chesed, we have to do chesed. Hashem visits the sick by Avraham Avinu. We have to visit the sick, etc. We're supposed to copy Hashem's good midos. Obviously, speaking Lashon Hara goes against the good midos of Hashem. Hashem means it's positive, obviously, goes without saying. But Umatzinu, just to sharpen the point, the Chofetz Chaim writes, Umatzinu b'kadosh baruch hu, b'midos v'kadoshos v'atahoros, shusone dilatoria b'chol afanim. Hashem, in his perfect kadosh and midos kadosh, his perfect holy, pure midos, Hashem hates negative speech totally in all ways, hates negative. Afilu al ish gerua admod, even about somebody who's really not such a good person, like Achan, we'll get to. Kemamaram zal, v'chi de la Torah nilach, am I a Lashon Hara speaker? Gab in maisa de Achan, by the maisa of Achan. Oh, v'tzofa v'tova, and Hashem only looks out for the good and doesn't look out for the bad. Hashem is positive. Hashem avoids Lashon Hara himself, Kaviyoch, as we'll see. So speaking Lashon Hara violates the mitzvah of Halachta Bidrachav. Just a few comments about this. Number one, the mitzvah of Halachta Bidrachav is a very significant mitzvah. There's a sefer Avas Chesed. It's not the sefer of the Chofetz Chaim. It's the next sefer that he wrote about Chesed. Okay. And in the introduction, he points out that this phrase of Halachta Bidrachav is mentioned 8 times in Chumash Dvarim. It's uncommon that a mitzvah is repeated 8 times. This is a very significant mitzvah. Halach tibidrachav, lalechis b'chol drachav, etc. And the Chofetz Chaim there gives a list. Look in the introduction, the Sefer Avas Chas. He has a list. Again, but the Chofetz Chaim likes to list the mitzvahs, as we've been discussing. 8 times in Chumash Dvarim alone that this mitzvah is mentioned, a very, very significant mitzvah. Oh. Now, what exactly is this idea of Achan? So this is actually very interesting. This is a halachic point. The Chofetz Chaim uses this as a halachic point later on. He quotes this whole story with Achan. What happened with Achan? So it goes as follows. If you look in Klal Yud, in the Chofetz Chaim, in Seif Beis, it's towards the end of the Sefer, Klal Yud Seif Beis, the Chofetz Chaim is discussing speaking Lashon Hara L'Toelis. That you're speaking Lashon Hara for some sort of benefit, for some productive purpose, so one's allowed to, with conditions. There are certain conditions that one has to meet. Okay. He has a list of 7 conditions. The 6th condition is that Lashon Hara L'Toelis is mutter only if you can't bring about the same Toelis, the same benefit, without the Lashon Hara. If you can accomplish the same thing without the Lashon Hara, then since it's unnecessary, that's usher. So even though your intention is for good, and your intention is for a toelis, and you reach the other conditions, but if there's a different way of doing things, you can't speak the Lashon Hara. That's what he writes. Let's read it inside. It's letter Vav in the middle of Klal Yud, Seif Beis. Im hu yachol lesabev es hatoelis hazos gufa beitz acheres, if you can bring about this particular benefit in some other way, with some other idea, shelo yitzarich lesapris inyan lashon hara olav, then you won't have to speak the Lashon Hara. Azai b'chol gavnei aser lesapris. Then it tells you to speak the Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara toelis is mutter, only if there's another way to do it. You have no other way out. But if there's another way to bring about the same benefit, you can't speak the Lashon Hara. Okay? The example that's given is, let's say there's a potential shidduch of Reuven and Sarah being set up. And you're convinced it's a very bad idea. You're convinced Reuven is not at all what Sarah is looking for, let's say religiously, in a whole different world, many, many different things. So there might be 10 things that Reuven does that would make him that you think is not appropriate for Sarah. But if hearing one of them would be enough to have Sarah say no to the shidduch, so you just mention the one. That's for a toelis. It's for a benefit. You want to save Sarah from a potentially negative, bad situation. If hearing one or two things would be enough to convince her, there's no need to mention the other eight. Even though your intention is good, those other eight are superfluous, they're extra, and they would not be allowed. That's the halachah lamaaseh, that's the practical, that's one good practical example of Vav. Okay. What's the source for this? I mean, it makes sense logically, but what's the source for this? The Chafetz Chaim says the source is exactly what he refers to here, the story of Achan and Yehoshua in Yericho. We know that when Am Yisrael attacked and conquered Yericho, there was a chayrim put on that they weren't allowed to take any of the booty from Yericho. Usser, it all had to be dedicated to Hashem. Nothing can be taken. So then, Am Yisrael fights the next war in Ai, and they lose the battle. So, they couldn't figure out why. Oh, so apparently, somebody took from the chayrim. Oh, so Yehoshua, the Gemara describes, Yehoshua has a discussion with Hashem, in a sense, of why did we get punished? Who did this? What happened? And the Chafetz Chaim quotes that Gemara in the footnote, and that is the source for what he says here in Mitzvah Yudalit. Let's read the footnote over there in Klal Yud, in Seif Beis in Klal Yud. So it says as follows. B'mai said, it's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. This is footnote Yud Aleph. B'mai said to Achan, it says, V'yomer Hashem al Yehoshua, Kum lecha, Lama ze ata nofel panecha, Chata Yisrael. So that's the pasuk. Hashem says to Yehoshua, get up and start doing something. So now the Gemara elaborates on what was happening when Hashem said this to Yehoshua. Amar lefanav, Ribono shel Olam, Mi chata, who did it? Amar lo, Hashem said to Yehoshua, V'chi delatarani? Am I a Lashon Hara speaker? I'm not going to tell you. Leich hatel goralos, go draw lots. Uperish Rashi, the Latorah is a rachil, a Lashon Hara speaker, a peddler of negative things. Then he quotes another similar Gemara. Oh, now what's fascinating is that Chazal describe Achan doing terrible averus. So even though Achan did many averus and he was a rasha, and certainly it would have been mutter to speak Lashon Hara about Achan, but still Hashem wanted to teach the lesson that if there's another way to bring about the positive result, knowing who it is, you avoid the Lashon Hara. And here it's even more. When they drew lots to figure out who took from the chayrim, obviously, who is causing the lots to fall out the appropriate way? HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. It's all from Hashem. The lots are just as much from Hashem as if Hashem said it directly. But still, if there's a way to get across the message and not say the words, so this is the lesson. It's a very subtle lesson. Hashem is teaching, I'm not going to say the negative words if I don't have to, even though I'm doing it with the lots. Of course the lots are from Hashem. But Goral, it's not luck. Hashem is governing the lots. Still, Hashem says, I won't speak the Lashon Hara. I won't be the Rochel. You draw the lots. Oh, so what do you see? So Chafetz Chaim continues over there at the end of the footnote, near the end of the footnote, Yud Aleph. If there's any way to bring about the benefit without saying the actual negative information about the person, so here too, there's another avenue to use the goro. And that's what it says. Hashem said, the Chafetz Chaim there brings a parallel example in halacha from the din of rodef. Rodef is as follows. If someone is chasing after someone and it's clear that he wants to kill him. Reuven's chasing Shimon and it seems clear that he wants to kill him. And normally, you're not allowed to kill someone. But Reuven's chasing Shimon and with a gun, he wants to kill him. Rahman al-Itzlan. So the halacha is that Shimon is allowed to kill Reuven before Reuven has a chance to kill him. That's the din of Rodef. Reuven's chasing Shimon. Shimon's innocent. Reuven's trying to kill him. Not basically. Reuven on his own wants to kill Shimon. So Shimon has a right to kill Reuven first before Reuven kills him. That's the din of Rodef. All right. So what if Reuven's chasing Shimon and Shimon is like a sharpshooter? So Shimon's going to turn around behind a tree. Shimon's going to turn around and he's a sharpshooter, so he could easily, again, given the time that he has, shoot the gun out of Reuven's hand and not kill Reuven. He's a sharpshooter. So the halacha is that if Shimon could save himself without killing Reuven, he's not allowed to kill him. So even though Reuven's a rodef, Reuven's chasing Shimon and he's a rodef. But if Shimon is able to stop Reuven by shooting at his leg or something, or shooting the gun out of his hand, he's obligated to do that. And if he doesn't, if he stops, kills him, that's usur. That's what the Chafetz Chaim quotes. Back in the footnote Yud Aleph. Kagon, Berodef. So much Reuven's chasing Shimon. Shem yachol lehatzilo b'yechad me'ivarov. If Shimon can save himself with one of the limbs of Reuven, v'lo hitzilo, and he didn't do that, rather he killed Reuven, nechshav lerotzeach al yedei zeh. He's called a rotzeach. Oh, that's a parallel example. So that's what's happening here. That is the Gemara and the Maimer Chazal that the Chafetz Chaim is quoting back in Mitzvah Yud Daled. Hashem is speaking to Yehoshua. Hashem says, V'chidei Later Ani? Am I a Lashon Hara speaker? I'm not going to tell you what's Achan. Go draw lots. So you see how far it goes. Even though Hashem's the one running the lots, still, if you can avoid saying it, you avoid saying it. That's Mitzvah Yud Daled. A Lashon Hara speaker is in violation. A Lashon Hara speaker is in violation of the Mitzvahs Aseh of Halachta Bidrachav. So these are the 14 Mitzvos that a person violates when they speak Lashon Hara. Now the Chafetz Chaim has a summation, the last paragraph of this section of the introduction. And he writes as follows. This is the last paragraph of the Psicha before we get to the Arurin. The Chafetz Chaim has another section of the introduction, which we'll get to in a few minutes. Harei Shechishavnu, we've listed Arba Asrei Mitzvos Asei, 14 positive commandments. Sheregilin Lavar Alein Al Yedei Sipur Lashon Hara Berachilus, that one is accustomed, that one could violate when they speak Lashon Hara. Levad Meshiv Asar Lav, and aside from the 17 Lavs. 17 Lavs, 14 Mitzvos Asei. Now this is, this next line is important just for precision. Ve'av shekol hashivasar lavin ve'arbas re'asein ein yachol lavo b'ishechad b'sipur echad kimavur lima'ayin. It's impossible to violate all 31 at once. If you go through the list, it doesn't work out because some apply only to Kohanim, some apply only to this case or to that case, or to an Amana or to a Yasom. So the Chafetz Chaim writes that it doesn't mean that every time a person speaks one piece of Lashon Hara, he violates all 31. That's not true. What's the idea? Rather, afal pichein, misha ragil chas v'chalila, b'midarazu, b'vadayavar al kulan, b'herche v'azman. If you're a habitual Lashon Hara speaker, then you'll eventually violate all 31. That's the idea of the list of 31. These are 31 separate, distinct mitzvos, aseh, and lavin, a habitual Lashon Hara speaker will end up violating all 31. Some, you violate every time. As we discussed, as we went through the class, the Chofetz Chaim is very clear which ones one violates every time. And what's the key word he uses a lot? He uses the word, correct, lefamim, sometimes. And sometimes, the Chofetz Chaim says sometimes. And those mitzvahs and averos, it depends on the situation. So that's the point of this famous list of 31. Some you violate every time. You don't violate all 31 every time. And some you violate depending on the situation. For example, Pamim Yero Lo Lidabra Lashon Hara Al Zakein, Upamim Al Chacham, etc., etc. And as he listed above. So that's the list of the Chofetz Chaim. And Baruch Hashem, we were able to go through kimat every lav and mitzvah of the list. The list of the 31 mitzvahs, asei, and lavs that a person violates when they habitually speak Lashon Hara, they eventually hit all 31. Okay. The Chofetz Chaim then goes on, and before he starts the halachos of the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, he has a section called the Aruin. What are the Aruin? So it points out as follows. If you open up in the Chumash, in Parshas Kisavo, in Dvarim, so the Torah has some curses. Mamish, that's Arur, that's Arur, curses. And the Chofetz Chaim points out that Lashon Hara speakers, Mamish, aside from everything we've seen till now, this lav and that lav and this, it's Mamish, you violate the Arur, if the Torah sets aside a special curse for these Averos, they're very severe. And the Chofetz Chaim says he's going to point out two, and maybe a third, two for sure, and maybe a third, that Lashon Hara speakers are not only in violation of the 31 mitzvahs and lavs, but they also violate these aruvim. Rachmana Litzlan, this is very, very, very terrible. Even worse than we had before. So let's read inside. This is what he says. This is the next page. V'ata nevoyer be'ezus Hashem ma'ashe ya'adnu le'el b'tchilos ha'psicha lifrot kama aruvim mekabel l'atzmo mishe'eno shomer satsu midar razu. Various curses, Rachmana Litzlan, that a person brings on himself if he speaks Lashon Hara. For example, Levad Kohalavin Vasein Hanal, aside from all the 31 Lavs and Mitzvot. So now, the first one is, this was explicit. Arur Make Re'ehu Baseser. Cursed is the one who hits his friend in private. This is in Dvarim Perakov Zayin, Pasakov Dalad. And Chazal say, Shehu Ka'i, Kuf Aleph Yud is an Aramaic word. It means to be referring to, standing, referring to Lashon Hara. Kamo Disa B'Sifri, Uperish Rashi B'Chumash. Rashi there on the Chumash quotes this Medrash from Chazal, that Arur curses the one who hits his friend in private. That's referring to Lashon Hara. How did Chazal understand that this particular lav, this particular curse refers to Lashon Hara? So there are different pshatim in the Mefarshim. One is, very often, when one speaks Lashon Hara, the person's not around. So it's like in private. I'm hurting someone, like in a private way, you know, and he's not around. Like I'm talking in private. Okay. Number two, even sharper, the only way you can hit, hit someone, and the person being hit doesn't even know about it. If you hit someone, normally he knows you hit him, so you hit the guy. Here, it says you hit the person in private. Chazal understood you're hitting a person in a way even he doesn't know about it necessarily. That's Lashon Hara. So whatever the pshat is, Chazal say that this Arur refers to Lashon Hara, and Rashi quotes it on Chumash. Rashi just says it on the Chumash. That, so a person who speaks Lashon Hara, mamash violates this curse, Rachmana Litzlan, terrible. Okay, that's number one. Number two, and this is not so well known, I never really focused on this when I learned the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, so you focus on it more. There's another curse in the Torah, which basically is a repeat of the lav of Lif Nevir, L'siten Michshol. Don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Don't cause someone to do an Aveira. Let's see inside. The Torah writes, the Chofetz Chaim goes on, Over Gamkein Al, Over Mashke Iver Baderech. It's a few psukim earlier. Cursed is the one who causes the Iver to go off his way, to lead the blind person astray. The Yadua, it's known, Kavanas HaKasuv, Le'arer, to curse, Mi Shenose Michshol Lifnei Acher, Shiaso Yadu Isser, if you cause someone to do an Aveira, that's leading them astray. Dumya like, Delav Lifnei Lusitei Michshol. Well, this Arur in Parshas Kisavo is basically a restatement of Leif Ne'iver. Just like there's a lav, Leif Ne'iver L'sitei Michshol. Don't put a stone back in front of a blind person. Don't lead someone to do an aveira, to do a lav. So too, that's this curse. It's the same thing, just different words. So therefore, just like we spent a lot of time discussing, that when a person speaks Lashon Hara, or a person hears Lashon Hara, he violates Leif Ne'iver. If Reuven speaks Lashon Hara, all then he is causing the listeners to hear Lashon Hara. If Shimon's listening to Reuven speak Lashon Hara, then he's causing Reuven to speak, because if he wasn't there, Reuven, he wouldn't be talking to a wall. So the laws of Leif Ne'iver apply to Lashon Hara certainly, and this pasuk is saying there's a special curse regarding a Lashon Hara. So that's over number two regarding Lashon Hara that one violates. Okay. Oh, number three, this one, it depends that a Lashon Hara speaker could violate this third Aror as well. This is a very famous pasuk which has several explanations, and we'll just give a little breath. We'll give some of the other explanations as well. Gimel, the Chofetz Chaim goes on. V'imchas v'shalom, na'aseh adavar etzol k'mo hefker. She'enu mekam al atzmo l'hishamer mimenu. Let's say a person says, this Lashon Hara is hefker. He doesn't care about it. He basically says, basically he's saying, that aveira doesn't apply to me. I'm not holding, that's not for me. And basically the person says, I'm not going to be careful. Lashon Hara has no relevance to me. It's almost as if that aveira doesn't exist for me almost. I'm not holding a that aveira. If a person is a Lashon Hara speaker, and it's so hefker, it's so wanton, that it's basically, he's ignoring the aveira totally. It's like it doesn't exist for him. So then, unfortunately, that's in a new category. Over old our Aror Shlishi, v'hu Aror Shelo Yakim, es Divrei HaTorah Hazos Lasos Osam. Cursed is the one who doesn't Yakim, uphold the words of the Torah. And Chazal, and one shot in the Mefarshim is, Shepei Rusho, Ashelo Yikabe Olatzmo L'Kayim Es Kol HaTorah, V'nikra mumer l'davar echad. Ayideze kevan shebesheit nefesh. Totally bemazed, totally wantonly. Over al iser chomor hazeh. V'machzik davar zeh shal Torah Hashem etzol lehefker. And this mitzvah is like hefker. The Torah says, cursed is the one who doesn't uphold the words of the Torah. What does that mean exactly? You know, in other words, there's a list of the arurs there. Now clearly it's only those specific averos that you get a curse for. So what does this mean when it says, cursed is the one who doesn't uphold the whole Torah? It can't mean that if you violate any one mitzvah, you get a curse, because then what's the purpose of the other 10 curses? So some of our Shem learn, Chofetz Chaim's quoting, that it doesn't mean that you violate the aveira. It means you basically ignore the aveira. You don't hold of it. You're wanton about it. It's like it doesn't exist for you almost, Rachmanu Litzlan. And then, V'alkein, Gadol Abano Minso. So a Lashon Hara speaker, if it becomes so wanton and so hefker, that's it. He's basically saying, this mitzvah doesn't apply to me, Rachmanu Litzlan. Then he gets this Arur, Asher Yochim Estivri HaTorah Hazos. Chas V'shal. Oh, that's curse number three. So it's really fascinating that the two definites are enough by themselves. Aside from all the Lavs and Averas, two different specific Arurs, curses which apply to Lashon Hara, one specifically, and one that always applies to Lashon Hara, as we discussed earlier in the and thirdly, unfortunately, some people, Rachmanu Litzlan, it's totally wanton, and then this third Aror could apply to them as well. Oh, okay, that's three. Now, just to broaden the issue, there's another famous pshat about what it means, Aror Shalyakim Estivri HaTorah Razos. So far we've had yakim means to uphold, like to keep. It's almost like you reject that mitzvah, Rachmanu Litzlan. The Yerushalmi quotes another pshat, and this Yerushalmi is quoted by the Mefarshim. The Yerushalmi quote is referring to lifting up, yakim. It's referring to doing hagba properly. There's a special warning when you do hagba, do it properly, and show proper kavodat Torah. Very interesting idea. That's the Yerushalmi. And Rav Nevensol Shlita, in his Sichot, to Rosh Hashanah quotes this Yerushalmi, the idea of doing Hagbah properly. It says here as follows. It's in the Sichos, it's on the source sheet, page Tzadi. It says, Ora Shalyakim Mistivri HaTorah, Zechazan HaKnesset, the Chazan of the base Knesset, She'eno Magbia Karuya Sefer HaTorah B'Shaz Hagbah. He doesn't do Hagbah properly. Oh, means literally to lift up. This is the Yushalmi and Sota, Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalet. Oh, what's the idea? What's the significance of doing Hagbah properly? So Reb Nebenzahl explains, and it develops very, very beautifully at some length, the idea of showing proper Kavod HaTorah. Kavod HaTorah. You lift it up the proper way, everyone sees the way you're supposed to, looks at the Torah, and gives, stands up and gives a kavod. The message being taught here is the idea of giving proper Kavod HaTorah. And there's a special inyan of special Kavod HaTorah. And Reb Nebenzahl explains that when you give kavod to the Torah, like physically, like you stand up for the Torah and you do proper hagbah, then you're more likely to give kavod to the words in the Torah as well. That's the idea here. That the idea of this special aror, and Chazal say for every aror there was a corresponding baruch. The bracha, if you do hagbah properly, you give proper kavod to the Torah, that the goal is that by giving proper kavod to the Torah, you give proper kavod to what's in the Torah. You take it more seriously. And that's what he writes, and that's what's being taught in the Yushalmi. And Reb Nebenzahl goes further, and he says this applies to Svarim generally. A person is supposed to treat Svarim with respect. Oh, that's what he writes. If you act with Svarim properly, then it'll impact on how you feel about the Svarim. That's what he writes. Oh. Reb Nebenzahl writes here as follows. This is on page Sadi Beis. He says, Ra'ui l'ha'ir b'zeh halachu l'maisa. I think it's appropriate to mention halachu l'maisa. She'ein l'arim sfarim rab m'al-gabi amudi halimud. On the shtenderim, basic matters. You have a shtender. It's a little like it's angled. So you can start balancing lots of sfarim books on the shtender. Then they're going to fall off and they slip. It's a bad idea. You're not supposed to be balancing sfarim in a way that they're shaky and they might fall down. That's not covered to the sfarim. And they can fall. He makes a little joke. He says that the luchos, Chazal say the luchos, like the samech is a circle. So the luchos were hewn, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, H-E-W-N. They were cut all the way through. And so if you take a samech, Chazal say it was samech, it was like the middle of the samech was like hanging in midair. It was like a nace. How could the samech behave? But that's a nace. So Reb Nebenzahl writes, just like the mem and the samach and the luchos, b'neis hayomdim. Sometimes the svarim on the shendrim, b'neis hayomdim. All right, and this is very interesting. I teach in yeshivas netivarye, and Reb Nebenzahl, he learns in the Beis Medrash almost every morning and almost every night seder, and he walks back and forth to his seat. And as he's walking back and forth to his seat, if he sees a book, a sefer, that's a little askew, it's leaning off the wrong way, he straightens it out as he's walking by. Mamish this. He mamish does what he writes in his svarim, that, you know, he doesn't go through the whole base medrash, it's not his job. But if he sees on the way to back and forth to his seat, a sefer that's off, it's not where it's supposed to be, it's not balanced properly, he will straighten it out on the way back and forth to his seat. Mamish what he writes here. I once heard from Reb Nebenzahl's son, Reb Chizkiya Nebenzahl Shlita, that one of the reasons Reb Nebenzahl's Sfarim carry so much power, they're so potent, is because anyone who knows him knows he lives every word he writes. He lives every word he writes. So everything you find in the Sfarim, you see it in his own life. This is a classic example. The idea of kavod to the Torah and kavod to the Sfarim. Oh, and he writes that you have to be very careful in how you treat your mechabed, the sefer itself. Misha mechabed es ha-sefer, if you're mechabed the book, siman shu mechabed gam ma'ak etza kosuv b'sefer. You're mechabed what's in the sefer. Oh, etc., etc. And he goes further, based on the chinuch, that we know that a person's thoughts are pulled after their actions. So if you're mechabed the sefer, you'll come to be mechabed what's in the sefer as well. So Reb Nebenzahl takes this pasuk and this curse and the flip side of the bracha about Hagbah and expands it to be referring to Svarim in general, be very careful and covered for Svarim. And then he goes one step further, and this is very interesting, and this is kimat, as far as I know, unique in Rav Nevensohl's writings that I've seen so far. And he writes another example of Kavod HaTorah. One example of Kavod HaTorah is to hagra properly, balance the Svarim properly, etc. Another example is, if you take the Torah seriously, you'll do what you can to remember it. Remember the Chidushim. If a person had a formula, and this formula was worth, he knew he's going to get a patent on this formula, and he figured something out, some amazing formula, the patent's going to be worth $250,000. He'd write it down, he'd make two copies, he'd put one away. Rav Nevensohl writes, part of Kavod HaTorah is, you hear a nice chiddush, write it down. Put it somewhere so you don't forget it. I have friends, they write things out and then they Xerox them, so they have like two sets of all their notes in case something happens to one set of their notes, whatever, lo'aleinu. So then there's another set of, there's a fire or something, or a flood. People, they're very careful. Their notes are worth a lot of money. They're worth tremendous, more than money. That's what he writes here. It's a very deep idea. It's a deep insight. If we value the Torah we're learning, we'd write it down so we don't forget. Even if you write something down, even if you do forget, then once it's written down, it can jog your memory. And he writes here as follows, and this is what's unique. First he writes, this is page Sadi Gimel, it's in the source sheets. Omrim, b'shem ha-chidah, they say the name of chidah, shekseva shava l'sheva chazaras balpeh. Writing down notes well is equal to seven chazaros. So A, it's good for chazara seven times, it's like you're chazaring seven times. Oh. Then he writes, V'yeschato'ay eni maskir. Obviously, Rav Nevensohl felt that there's a toels in putting this in the Sefer to learn from this mistake, in a sense, but he writes this. I've never seen other places. He says, the mistake that I made myself. What's his mistake? He said, Chelk min asherim sheshamati mirabosai kasafti, v'chelk acher lo katafti. He says, he went in the different yeshivas he was in, he wrote down many of the shiurim, but some he didn't write down. Osam she kasafti, the ones that I wrote down, ani zocher mat, I remember some of them. And I check my notes and I remember the rest of it most of the time. If I didn't write them down, one can also say that they're gone forever. Right now, I regret not having written them down. At least I want to convince others. That's why he's writing this. He wants to encourage others to take notes. Even though it takes away from your learning, when you take notes, it takes away from more chazar, more going further. It's worthwhile. So Rav Nevensohl says, it's amazing. He's mentioning a mistake that he made for a toeles, to encourage others, don't make this mistake, have the proper kavod, and you won't forget what you learned as much if you write it down. This is a very, very, very good idea. I would encourage you, you hear a good shir, a good vartor, write it down somewhere. And then, because if not, you forget things. If you write something down that you've learned, even if you forget it when you read your notes, it can jog your memory. And it's worth putting in the extra time to write things more clearly. I know for myself, if I write things down more clearly, then even if I forget it almost totally, the clear notes bring it back and it jogs your memory. It's a very good idea. And I would encourage everyone to start taking notes. Some people use folders. I have friends who use note cards. Some use notebooks. I have a friend who uses notebooks for his chidushim that he writes down. Then he has a notebook about where to find every topic that he's written about somewhere else. Okay, that keeps him organized for everything else. Okay, that's the key notebook, because that notebook you should have two copies of. That tells him where everything else is. Okay. It's a good level to be at. You have so many chidushim, you have to have a notebook to organize everything. Some people use a computer. Computer's fabulous. You can be backing up on another computer, you know, the hard drive, all the things people do nowadays. That's Kavod HaTorah. That's Arash Elohim Mizdivrei Torah Razos. Okay. That's a broader point regarding this third curse. The Rahman al-Litzlan, it is possible that a person who's involved in Lashon Hara can be so wanton that it can violate this curse as well. Oh. One more paragraph, and then we will sum up this section of the classes. Well, the Chafetz Chaim writes here again at the end of the next paragraph in this section. Many other bad things are caused by lashon hara. Kigon, midas hagzarius hagrua, cruelty. Lashon hara speakers tend to be more cruel. Umidas hakas, and being angry. Chuavan chamor, as Chazal say in many places. Vikam upon him gamkein boy days of lilaitsanus, become a scoffer. Lashon hara speakers tend to be more negative. They're more negative, that tend, not always, tend to be more cruel and more full of anger and scoffing at things, making fun of things. Ulishar midos ros, al kain, al kol divrei ha-psicha azos, all the words of this psicha, shemimenu nucha lohavin es golda al kilko ha-boi, dey lashon hara ruchilus, we can see the terrible kilko that comes from lashon hara ruchilus. That's why it's a specific law. The Chavetz Chaim wrote in the beginning of the Sefer, we learned it many weeks ago. There are many bad midos out there. How come the Torah makes Lashon Hara Nechilus a specific law? The answer is, the Chavetz Chaim wrote way back then, and he's saying it again now. Now we understand it more. Now we understand it more fully. A Lashon Hara speaker almost always spreads, and it affects many other aspects of one's life. And a Lashon Hara speaker ends up having this Aveira, that Aveira, this problem, Aram Chaveiro, this bad Midah. So since this Aveira of Lashon Hara is like the root around which many other bad Midos can grow, can develop, it's the base of many things, Hashem said we have to work on the root and the base, and that's why now we understand why the Torah says there's a specific Aveira not to speak Lashon Hara. Other bad Midos, although there are bad Midos, and there are Ramazim in the Torah, they're not a specific Lav. Why is this a specific Lav? Because of all the terrible things it can cause. Now we understand. And now the Chavetz Chaim makes a request. It's a good request. It's something we should listen to. I ask my friend the reader, Shezos ha-psicha yikra v'yachzer v'yikra. Read the psicha over and over and over again. Ki bevadai mawilo linyan zeh. This will be the best influence for the future. If you want to stop speaking Lashon Hara, before you get to the details of the halachos, read the psicha, read the terrible things that Lashon Hara causes, all the angles and aspects over and over again. And he writes, Meluketes me'eis ha-rishonim. I've gathered this psicha from the different rishonim. The divrei kadoshim, that their words are kadosh and tohor, etc. Al-kein divrei paulin ma'od b'leiv karehen. If you read what the Rishonim say, it has an impact on you because it came from a pure source. The gam yeta hakore, you should know. Lo lakachti es halav in vasein kifi hizdame. And just take stam. I found maybe this lav, maybe this avera, like whatever happened to come up. No, chakarti b'derash tihetev. I did a lot of investigation to figure out which of the Targum mitzvot are related to lashon hara. V'har beyigios yagati acher zirane kadosh baruch hu shematzasi es elu haneosim winyaneinu. And I worked very hard to find those that fit and are relevant and, you know, fit for Lashon Hara. So the Chavetz Chaim here is telling us, go over this again and again. This psicha can have such an impact. And it can. Over again, when you realize it affects everything in a person's life, so many angles, that the importance of being careful with Lashon Hara, it won't just change your being careful with Lashon Hara, it'll change really your entire life. Oh. So we have another few minutes now. This is really the end of this unit of our classes. Be'ez Hashem, in the next section, we'll start to say for itself of the halachos l'maisa. And Kal Alef, the laws of Lashon Hara themselves, more halachos l'maisa. But just to sort of sum up what we've been seeing, and as the Chavetz Chaim just says, he says it himself here, that keeping Lashon Hara will affect a person's entire life. And I want to end with this section with what we began with. We began with the idea of being a more positive person. And we discussed from Rabbi Pliskin Shlita, from his book, Thank You, we discussed your words create you. Your words create you. How you speak will impact on who you are and who you become. And if we become, and Lashon Hara speakers, as Chavetz Chaim writes, they end up being more negative people. And if you work on avoiding Lashon Hara, you become a more positive, pleasant person in so many ways. And it affects everything. Let me just give you a few examples. A few examples of Orlik in his book, of Orlik Shlita in his books about parenting, talks about the following idea. He says it's important for parents to praise their kids more than they criticize them. Young parents especially, we tend to catch our kids making mistakes. That's, you know, you kept making, and you point it out. We have to train ourselves to catch our kids doing good things and say, that's a good thing, and point it out. If Orwick writes, one should be praising his children at least 3 times as much as he is criticizing. And if it's not, something's off and he has to work on that. He said sometimes he's like he tells someone, you know, tape yourself. Put an MP3 player on the, you know, up on the shelf and leave it there the whole day. And listen till you go through your day with your kids. And some people, especially younger parents, like it'll end up being like they speak neutral or negative a lot with their kids. But how often are they praising them? So if Orwell says you want to get used to praising your kids. Now, if you're a Lashon Hara speaker and you're focusing on people's negative qualities, it's very hard to like suddenly shift gears. With my kids, I'm always positive. It's possible if you work very hard. But people are creatures of habit. People have habits. Most midos are based on hergel. The Gra writes that in different places, and many Sfarim quote it. People are creatures of habit. If you're used to being a critical person, the chance that the criticism overflows into one's own home life is much greater. A person who stops speaking Lashon Hara is much more likely to be, this is Pasha what I'm saying, a person who stops speaking Lashon Hara is much more likely to be able to praise his kids more and be more positive with his kids and help raise their self-esteem. As Rabbi Twersky writes in all his books about self-esteem, kids who hear praise for the good things, that's great, that's fabulous, very good what you did. All those things, if you're a Lashon Hara speaker, the chance that you're going to shut the valve and turn out suddenly positive at home is much less likely. So that's one tremendous positive benefit of being careful with Lashon Hara. Another example, when you have to criticize your kids, you have to criticize your kids sometimes as part of chinuch, and they've criticized your kids. Rav Orwick writes in his books, an idea, try to end positively. Try to end positively if you can. Now again, if you're a positive person, you can do this. If you're a positive person and your norm is positive, so then when you have to criticize your children, you criticize, but then try to shift back to the norm when you're ending. And he says it changes everything. And there's a story I read. Shlita has this in one of his books. It's in a few of his books. I think I saw it in the book From Generation to Generation. He tells the following story, and it is such a classic story about proper discipline, quoting from his father. Twersky's father was a Hasidic Rav. So he said to his father, he said, once, I think it was Yom Tov, they had a guest over, a learned person, and the guest, and Rav Twersky was a young boy, he challenged him to a game of chess on Yom Tov. And they played, and Rav Twersky actually said he beat him, I think, once or twice. Okay. Rav Twersky's father, when he found out about it, wasn't happy. He thinks playing chess is inappropriate on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's a discussion. But playing chess on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's a discussion. But his father thought it was inappropriate. So he called him to his study, and he said to him, you play chess on Yom Tov. And Rav Twersky said, yeah, but this person was learned. He said it was okay. The father said, no, you play chess on Yom Tov. You know I'm against that. You knew that I was against that. You should have. You could. You knew that I was against that. It was a mistake. And Rav Twersky said he felt bad, and he was standing there in his father's study. His father had given him, this rebuke, but he wasn't dismissed yet. And his father didn't say you could go. And then, as he was standing there, Rav Twersky said his father said to him, "But you beat him, right?" And that's fabulous, classic. His father's angry at him. He gave him the musr, he deserved the musr, and then his father, Rav Twersky, said he remembers that mamash to this day like it was yesterday. What a positive memory. His father gave him some musr. He deserved it. He felt he didn't show proper kavod for Yom Tov, but he ended positively. I'm telling you, to be a person like that, that you're able to end discipline positively, comes from being a positive person. Your words create you. And if you work on Lashon Hara as a root, you have a much better chance of being a positive person. I have an acquaintance that I know, and he's such a positive person, and this is amazing, that it's a proper way to sort of bring an end to this section. Such a positive person that people are uncomfortable speaking Lashon Hara to him, something negative. Not because it's us, that's a separate point. But just the way he goes through his day, the way he talks about things, the way he's involved with people, you know, you're uncomfortable, like, wait, I don't want to say this to him because he's not going to like that. Because he's a positive person. That's amazing. What a midah that we can strive for. Listen, if you have, a person has to deal with challenging things, fine. Well, you deal with them when you have to deal with them. But how do you go through your day? Are you a positive, pleasant person or not? And I know this person, and like people are uncomfortable saying like bad things to him. Not just because of the Aveira. That's how he carries himself. There's no way that's the beginning of the beginning, the first step, the first big step towards going in that direction is don't speak Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is not part of my life. I don't say bad things. I'm not involved in Lashon Hara. That's the first big step towards becoming a more positive person. To change your whole life. It'll change how we deal with our kids and how we and with criticism and positive and how we discipline. Certainly it changes the whole tone in the house. We're more positive, again, with our families, with our spouses, with our children, with our friends. Of course. And the root of all of it is being careful with Lashon Hara. As the Chafetz Chaim explains, that's why Hashem made it a real mitzvah, a real lav, and not just the midah, because this mitzvah affects everything. And just to close, I want to close with what we began with. At the very beginning of the classes, I read a poem, Rabbi Chersky quotes, about being a positive person. And we discussed how Lashon Hara speakers end up being more positive people, your words create you, etc. So I want to close with this poem about being a positive person, focusing on the good things in life, not the bad things. This is Rabbi Twersky's book, From Pulpit to Couch, at the very end of the book. The park bench was deserted as I sat down to read. Beneath the long, straggly branches of an old willow tree, disillusioned by life with good reason to frown, for the world was intent on dragging me down. Apparently this person was having a rough life, a rough time. And if that weren't enough to ruin my day, a young boy out of breath approached me all tired from play. He stood up before me with his head tilted down and said with great excitement, "Look at what I found. In his hand was a flower. And what a pitiful sight with its petals all worn, not a refrain or too little light." Wanting him to take his dead flower and go off to play, I faked a small smile and then shifted away. But instead of retreating, he sat next to my side and placed the flower to his nose and declared with overacted surprise, "It sure smells pretty, and it's beautiful too. That's why I picked it here, it's for you." The weed before me was dying or dead, not vibrant of colors, orange, yellow, or red. But I knew I must take it or he might never leave, so I reached for the flower and replied, "Just what I need." But instead of him placing the flower in my hand, he held it in midair without reason or plan. It was then that I noticed for the very first time that the weed-toting boy could not see. He was blind. I heard my voice quiver, tears shone like the sun, as I thanked him for picking the very best one. "You're welcome," he smiled and ran off to play, unaware of the impact it had on my day. I sat there and wondered how he managed to see a self-pitying woman beneath an old willow tree. How did he know of my self-indulged plight? Perhaps from his heart he'd been blessed with true sight. Through the eyes of a blind child at last I could see, and for all of those times I myself had been blind, the problem was not with the world, the problem was me. I vowed to see the beauty in life and appreciate every second that is mine. And then I held that wilted flower up to my nose and breathed in the fragrance of a beautiful rose and smiled as I watched the young boy, another weed in his hand, about to change the life of an unsuspecting old man. Of course, he concludes, "We need only to be reminded of our blessings to find happiness within our reach in everyday experiences if we are not blind to them." This is an approach to life, focusing on the positives, trying to be a more positive, pleasant person, and being careful with Lashon Hara is one of the main primary roots of trying to achieve such a level like this. It's something all of us should strive for. And as Chofetz Chaim writes, we should go over this Hakdama again and again, and the Ezra Hashem have the impact on us in this way. That's the end of this unit of the Sefer Chofetz Chaim. We basically finished the introductions. And Be'ez Hashem, in the next units, we will be discussing the Sefer itself, the Halacha L'maisa itself, in the Sefer Chofetz Chaim. Okay, we'll stop here.